Good morning and welcome to Neocony View. I'm Peter Newman. A few weeks ago, I opened the mailbox, and in the mailbox was the latest catalog of classes for Tillamook Bay Community College, which gave me the brilliant idea of sitting down and having a talk with Dr. Russ Tomlin, who is the president of Tillamook Bay. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Peter. We're glad to be here.
Well, this is a summer catalog I'm looking at, but fall is really about ready to begin. So we're going to what does that mean for you when you're getting ready for a fall season?
Well, it's of course one of our busiest times of the year, and it's the most exciting time of the year. We seems like we just had graduation on June 16th. It was just yesterday, but of course it's already the summer's almost gone. So we get back at it on Monday, September 25th.
Folks come in here and they look through the catalog ahead of time, of course. They have a general idea.
Scheduled classes. Uh-huh.
Are there any programs, if let's say I know I want to do something, any guidance that the college
provides?
Oh,
fabulous
provides?
Guidance. Yes. Yeah. And so we really encourage, even though you can get on and you can register for classes online, we still encourage students. Of course, new students need to come in and talk and apply for the admittance to the college before they can register. But if you have any questions at all about what classes to take, how to do anything to get ready for fall, we have a great staff here. You just come into the college in the main lobby, look for the student services heading over the door, and go talk to them at that window. And there's advisors, there's people to help you through every step of the process, financial aid, getting scholarships, whatever it takes to help you set up your plan of what you need to take, when you need to take it, how to pay for it, how to get resources. All that can be done through that group of people in student services.
Since you mentioned financial aid and the finances and all of that, what's the cost?
Well, to be a full-time student, 12 or more credits, it's a little over $3,000 a year. So it's not, or $3,000 a term. So it's not expensive at all compared, obviously, to the four-year schools. So we're very affordable, and most important is there's a lot of resources. We have lots of scholarships. We give out over $60,000 worth of scholarships every year for students. Of course, you don't have to pay those back. We have, of course, the Pell Grants for those students that qualify, which is resources to cover tuition fees, books, living expenses, etc. And then, of course, we also have here at the college special scholarships called the First Class Scholar, which gives tuition to students that are just graduating from high school if they fit certain criteria. And we have a brand new scholarship this fall called the Career to Career Scholarship. And that's one that will, again, pay all the tuition for up to 2 years for a student that has been out of school for 5 years or more and in the workplace. And so we're trying to target those non-traditional students that have been out of school and maybe have come to the realization they would like to get some more education, and or they have a specific career goal that they've been thinking about that requires some training at the community college or university. And they can come here and get their first 2 years and either get a career and technical degree, which allows them to go right to work, or they can get their transfer classes out of the way so that they can transfer right on to a university and finish their higher degree.
I'm assuming there's no printing press in the basement, so where's that money come from?
Well, those two scholarships, the First Class Scholar and the Career to Career, come from our general fund. So we have managed to budget that into our process of allowing those students and encouraging those students to come to the college, because it's we realize that many students, many people in Tillamook County struggle economically, and we want to try and provide those opportunities for people to have college education and go on and reach their goals.
I assume there's no one answer to this question, but can you describe a typical student or the kinds of students that TVCC attracts?
Well, that's the beautiful thing about a community college, is that there is no typical student. The average age of our students are around 30 years old, and that means we've got quite a few students that are what we call traditional college students, which means they just got out of high school, so 18 to 20 years old. But then we have students that are 50 and 60 years old. So that whole range of ages and backgrounds and experiences. And I think one of the strengths of a community college is that you have that blend of people in a lot of your classes, which provides us rich opportunity to share different experiences and ideas. And I think it just makes a community college very unique.
Yeah, I've heard that that's that nationwide, both community colleges and four-year programs and the like. The idea of mom and dad dropping the kid off in the fall in the station wagon and leaving, that's old news, isn't it? That just, I mean, well, it happens, but it's not as typical as it used to be.
Correct, right, because community colleges are everywhere. There's almost 1,200 community colleges nationwide. We're one of the few countries in the world that has that model of education that is open to everybody. So there's no entrance requirements other than you have a high school degree or equivalent, and you can come and sign up for a community college as long as you can cover the tuition and fees or get those covered somehow. You can come and take classes, and so it's open to everybody. And that's of course not the case for the university. So
our guest this morning on Neocone View is Ross Tomlin. He is the president of Tillamook Bay Community College. And what about transferring credits? I mean, I do 2 years here, and are they fully transferable?
Well, that's an interesting concept. Yes, all of our credit classes do transfer. The legislature has just passed a bill this session that will take effect this fall, where we're trying to standardize transfer credits across the different universities in our state. So right now, if you major in a specific discipline, those disciplines at all seven of our public universities often have different requirements as far as courses. And so if you come from one of the 17 community colleges and you're transferring into that university, you may not have exactly the classes that they want to see in the first 2 years. So what we found is that some of those classes, although they count, they are counted as electives and not meeting the requirements of that specific discipline. So what the state is saying now is that we want all the universities and the colleges to work together to figure out a curriculum where all those credits will transfer directly into those particular majors. And so it's going to take a while to do that, but it's a great effort to try and standardize things so students don't take extra classes at the community college that maybe they won't get full credit for at the university. But,
yeah.
But by and large, most of those credits do transfer right over and saves the students their first 2 years.
Yeah, I would think the calculus of a student trying to thread that needle might be pretty difficult, at least not without some outside assistance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have great sets of advisors, both at the college and the universities, that work with students to try and match. And if a student comes in knowing what they want to do, when they transfer over to a university, then they usually don't have many problems. But it's the student that comes in and says, you know, I don't really know what I want to do. And it takes them a couple years to figure it out, which is fine. But then they may accumulate some classes that when they do figure it out and go to the university won't quite count toward that particular degree.
Well, for those people who do come here, and they'll say they know that they've got a pretty good career track that they're thinking about, they know the classes that they are going to study. What is it that they should bring to the table, as it were, in terms of, you mentioned, for example, you've got to obviously have a high school graduate, but if I were going to prepare, let's say ahead of time, I thought, well, electrical engineering is in my future. How would you suggest a student who wanted to attend here thread that needle so that they were most efficient at getting that and got the best experience out of going to TBCC?
Well, of course, the more you can do in high school to get your foundation and make sure you're at what we call college level for these courses, the more efficient you can be. So we have a strong dual credit program here at the college with our high schools in Tillamook County. And this, of course, is a very strong program at all the community colleges in Oregon, where students in the high school can take college classes. And for most of the high schools, certainly here in Tillamook County, those are free to students. So they have to qualify to take a writing and a math class by taking our placement test, just like any other college student would. But then they can get those credits right there in the high school. So while they're taking a writing class for their high school credit, they're also getting college credit. That's why we call it dual credit. And this allows students to get their writing classes out of the way, their math. Obviously, if you want to be an electrical engineer, you're going to need some high-level math. So the sooner you can get through the basic college algebra and trigonometry and work your way up to calculus, the more efficient you'll be when you actually go to college after getting out of high school.
So here we are in Tillamook. If I were to go to a community college on the other side of the state, what would I notice as a difference? I mean, how community centered are these colleges? What are you doing here that is not happening on the other side of the state? And well, vice versa, I suppose.
Right. Well, I would say all 17 of our community colleges are community centered. That's in our name, and we're all focused on making sure we are an integral part of the community. But certainly the rural community colleges, which of course we are one of those, has to be even more connected with our community. So we feel very proud that we're part of everything that we do in this county. We try to be out there in different organizations and very visible, and we want to make sure everybody is aware of our opportunities and what they can achieve here. And then, you know, work with the community to make sure we're doing what we need to do, and if there's some things we need to do better, we will change those. But I think that's pretty consistent across the board with all the community colleges, even though we all have a little different flavor. Obviously, Portland Community College over the hill there is the largest college in the state, and we are the smallest college in the state.
How are you? Really?
Yes. So,
how many people? How many students?
Well, we have about 2,000 students a year that run through our classes, and that translates into somewhere around 450 full-time equivalent students.
Well, if a business here, I guess I'd be inclined to use the Cheese Factory as an example, since they're the big one. Do they come to you and say, you know, this is what the work pool in the Tillamook area should look like? Can you help us get there?
Absolutely. Yes.
What's that conversation like?
Well, we'll have people from all different industries come to us from time to time and say, you know, we need people with certain skill sets, and we're having trouble finding people with those skills. And they'll work with us, and sometimes if we can see there is a large enough need and a consistent need over time, create a program that will meet those needs. Our manufacturing industrial technology program is an example of that. The Creamery Association is an integral partner in that program, along with Hampton Mills and a few other industries that came and said, you know, we need some skills in manufacturing, and can you help us? And so they send some of their workers to our program and get that training. We also work with those industries on what we call contract training. And this is non-credit, but it allows us to work with those industries almost on a one-to-one basis and provide exactly the training they need for their employees, so to help their employees gain skills that they would like or they need, that they can move up in the organization and be more valuable members of that company. So that's the flexibility a community college has that most universities don't, is to offer that contract training with any industry that wants that help.
Can I come here and get what the traditional liberal arts education? I want to walk out of here after 2 years with my facilities in English and history and language.
Yes.
And speech and all those things. Is that something these colleges provide?
Yes, absolutely. All 17 colleges in the state are what we call comprehensive community colleges. So some states have specific colleges that are technical and some that are liberal arts and general transfer organizations. The ones in Oregon have combined those into one. So we provide both services. And so we have four career technical programs, and then we have what we call our standard Associate of Arts Oregon Transfer degree and our Associate of General Studies degree. And those are very general liberal arts type degrees that provide those skills in all the writing and the science, math, all those.
We are a largely rural community. Is it difficult to attract faculty?
You know, we have not had much trouble getting great faculty. We have six full-time faculty here at the college, and all have been here for quite a while and are just outstanding in the way they their teaching skills as well as their passion for students. Obviously, a lot of our classes have to be taught by adjunct faculty part-time. And it is amazing the depth of people we have in this community that have very specific skills and degrees in areas that allow them to come in and teach specific courses for us. So we're very blessed.
And as I was coming in today, I looked under your counter, and I'm seeing guitar, I'm seeing language classes. Mm-hmm. More general in effect, open to the public. Is that the way you describe it?
Yeah, so we also have, so there's another segment. So we've talked about contract training and certainly all of our credit type courses that we offer, but we also have community ed. So community education courses are designed to just be enrichment type courses for any community member to come in and take. It could be swimming, it could be guitar, as you mentioned, it could be anything that there's an interest in the community to have a class that would teach you how to do something or enjoy something. So we have a lot of those classes scattered all throughout the county. Some are offered at our TBCC South campus in Cloverdale, and that's on the Nestucca Valley High School campus. And then we have classes up at the North Coast Recreation District in the Halem, and then, of course, all throughout at the YMCA here in Tillamook and at other locations throughout the county.
Ross Tomlin is the president of Tillamook Bay Community College, our guest this morning on Neocone View. What keeps you up at night?
Oh, gosh. Well, there's so many challenges at a college. You know, funding, of course, is a challenge. And so keeping enough resources to be able to do what we want to do is a constant challenge. But this college has been well managed over the years, and we're very fortunate to have a solid budget and reserves that'll weather through some storms. And it gives us the chance to do some things and try some different things that maybe we wouldn't be able to do otherwise, starting new programs and getting partnerships with other organizations to do more. So we're always looking for ways that we can enhance our services and do more for the community as far as educating them.
Well, I'm sure part of it is, as you say, it's, you know, the issue of funding. But is that and we could also say, I suppose, that education is underfunded.
But yes.
In terms of the steadiness of the funding, can you count on your budget, over a few year period so that you can make those plans? Is it a steady thing, or do you when the legislature goes into session, you start worrying?
Well, we always worry. It's a constant struggle. We just got through the main session with the legislature, and we did get a tiny amount of extra money than we had this current biennium. And, of course, Oregon goes in two-year cycles, so we know what we'll get next year. So it makes our planning for this coming year's budget a little bit easier. But then the following year, when we're getting ready to go into another big legislative session, then we do worry. And you might say, well, you did get a little bit extra this year. Well, that is true. But then there's all these tremendous costs that go up. The insurance costs, of course, go up each year, and labor cost, et cetera. So if your budget stays pretty static, you're actually falling behind. And so it's just that constant struggle to try and convince the legislature that we need more resources to be able to just keep doing things at the level we've been doing them.
Okay, the legislature, I don't know, wakes up one morning and they say, hey, Ross, you can have as much money as you need. What do you want to do? What's the big dream?
Well, that's interestingly one of the questions they ask us. What would you do with more money if you could get it? And certainly the two big things for us is trying to implement different initiatives that help us with student success. So student success is our big push right now, and that is what can we do to both keep students that are in our classes, keep them in the classes and keep moving forward and completing either a degree or a certificate, but how can we keep them going and not lose them? Because we do lose students. On the average across the country, from the first fall to the second fall, community colleges lose 50% of their enrollments.
That's extraordinarily high.
It is. But again, remember, we don't have any entrance requirements except for a high school diploma. So pretty much everybody can come in. And so it's a little different in a university where you have to have certain scores on your ACT or whatever. And so students come in better prepared and better focused. So it is a high number, but what we're trying to do is lower that number. And so each college is really working hard to try and implement strategies on how we can keep students in here, keep them engaged, and help them when they need help, tutoring, etc., advising, making sure they have a plan of what classes they need to take each term for their whole 2 years, and just doing other things that we can do to try and keep them here. So that's a big push. And then the other is to create new partnerships and new programs that provide other opportunities for students to succeed.
Well, I've heard similarly high numbers applied to online education mm-hmm. as well, which makes me wonder then about the other comparisons between your work and that of other online colleges. Mm-hmm. Are they, in effect, competition?
Well, I guess in some ways you could say that, but we have a lot of online classes ourselves, and all community colleges do. In fact, we've got 2 degrees that are completely online, our business degrees. So you can take every single course and get an associate degree here in business and not ever step foot on our campus. So we have those. But I think for most of the students, we try to encourage them to take face-to-face classes when possible. But those online classes are certainly helpful if they're in situations where they're working a lot and they need to focus their study time in the evening or on weekends.
Yeah, I was thinking of, as an educator, how do you, in general, feel about the whole area of online education? Does it works?
Well, I've taught online as well as obviously face-to-face, and I would prefer to teach face-to-face because I love the interaction. I love the ability to have discussions in classes. A lot of those things can be done online, but it does take a different skill set, and a lot of faculty don't like to teach online, or they prefer one or the other, and the same with students. And so that mode works really well for some students, but I don't see it ever completely replacing face-to-face classes.
It seems to me, maybe it's just I'm the procrastinating, lazy kind of person, that the idea of having a class every day or several times a week, that imposing that kind of discipline. I mean, there is another kind of discipline with online, but it's different, mm-hmm. isn't it?
It is very different. And you do have to be more motivated, I think, in some ways to stay up with your online classes. Plus, the instructors can be motivating and can encourage you and engage you in ways that make you want to come to class. So, it's two different ways to do things. And for the most part, we offer either a particular class online or face-to-face because our numbers are small. But many other colleges, they will have the same set of classes both online and face-to-face. And so it's a choice for students to choose.
Is there sort of a mix and match where you do some of both? I mean, I'm taking
sure.
one class and I do I'm online for some of it, and then some of it is work done offline as well.
I think one of my favorite types is we have several that are called hybrid courses. So whereas a typical face-to-face class, you would come into the class 3 hours a week. But in a hybrid course, you might come in just 1 hour a week, and the other 2 hours the instruction is done online. So it's a combination of the two, and those tend to be very popular and very effective.
And what's the interaction between students? I mean, how does that work?
Well, so as long as you're face-to-face for at least part of the class, you have that opportunity to answer questions and engage people and get them in discussions. And then, of course, the online classes all have discussion forums so that students interact with each other and with the instructor, both in a synchronous, which means they're all on there at the same time, or an asynchronous, where they just get on and reply to responses that were done before. So there's ways you can do all those same things online, but it is a little more challenging, and it's just a different way of looking at education.
Are there some larger trends that you see for, well, I suppose both community college and post-high school education in general? I mean, the structure may be the same, but it's a different experience going to college now than it was 10, 20, 30 years. Let's get together with your colleagues and think about what's our work going to look like in another 10 years? What's this place going to be? Do you ever think about that?
Oh, yeah. And those are discussions we do in education all the time. And I don't know. You know, 10 years ago, I really thought at some point we wouldn't even have actual physical colleges anymore. They would all be online and virtual and all that. But now at this point, I really don't think that'll ever happen. I think we'll always need the physical structures, and there'll be a need for the human interaction. So what'll happen in the future, I think a lot of push now is toward competency-based and outcome-based type focus, where instead of taking classes and you go through a set of material and you get tested on it, and if you don't get it, well, that's, you know, you have to move on, and that reflects in a grade of A, B, C, or D, or F. Instead, the outcome-based, competency-based, you study material, and if you take a test and you don't get it, then you keep studying it, and you keep studying it till you do get it. And then you move on to the next thing. And at that point, you don't even need grades, because you come out, you know you've got those set of skills. And so on transcripts, instead of grades, you have sets of skills that you've learned and acquired at the college. So that would be my dream in education, that we get away from grades and we focus on outcomes and skills. But that's a hard thing when you've got this huge structure in place, and in order to transfer from one institution to another, you have to have grades. There's a school in Portland, a two-year school that just started last year, called the Wayfinding Academy, and the president and founder of that school has set it up so there's no grades. And there are several other colleges in the country doing that. And they've worked out arrangements with other schools so that they do have a way to transfer. So it can be done. And I'm excited that we can get education to start moving in that direction over the coming decades.
Well, fall term begins in just a few weeks' time. What's the date for that?
September 25th.
And before then?
Best thing to do is anytime come into the college, get some advice and help on what you need to take. And then you can get online and register for those classes. And so you have about a month to do that between the time it starts and classes start.
And the website is tillamookbaycc.edu for people who want more information.
Absolutely. Lots of good information there.
Ross Tomlin is the president of Tillamook Bay Community College, our guest this morning on Neocon View. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for asking me.
This is Peter Newman. We'll see you again next month.